were like the stepchildren of the steps, you know, that just kind of the inner workings of OA. You know, if I belong to a service or a group or an intergroup, or for group conscious and business meetings, I thought through traditions were rules that those groups pretty much abided by, but I was wrong. The traditions are, my opinion, for civilian life, for outside of OA. Behind each tradition is a spiritual principle that can guide me in my life outside of program. How to behave at home, how to talk to my kids and my wife, how to deal with clients. I mean, it's the principles are guides for me. You know, we say with step 12, we carry these principles in all our affairs. These are some of the principles that I carry around. So I wanted to specifically talk about tradition two. And we read it earlier, but I'll repeat it. Tradition two states, we have but one authority, a loving God expressed in group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. Now, that does kind of sound like the inner workings of OA, but the spiritual principle behind it is trust. So if I think outside of program, am I trustworthy? How do I build trust at home? How do I build trust with clients? How do I build trust with my friends? It really is an important guide. When I look at tradition two in the in our 12 and 12, that chapter, it's got some pertinent questions, and I'm just going to read a couple of them. How I live tradition two outside of OA. Do I think of only my own interests? Do I listen with an open mind? Do I take everyone's needs into account? And my favorite sentence in that chapter is, we cannot control our family and friends by power or manipulation. We must be willing to serve and let our higher power govern, which leads me to a story. Back in February, my wife and I were both double vaccinated, and she said to me, why don't we take that trip that we have been planning forever? And I said, yeah. And we've been planning it for a while. We started planning it back in the spring of 2020. I found a resort in the Caribbean, booked the resort, booked the airfare, booked 7 nights at restaurants, and then COVID hit. So canceled. And I moved it up. I was optimistic. I said, let's try summer 2020. And I found a resort, restaurants, airfare, and that didn't work out either. So now here we are, vaccinated. I said, yeah, let's do it. Let's go. I booked the resort, booked the 7 nights of restaurants, booked the airplane. Within a week, my wife saw something on TV that spooked her. And she said, forget it. We're not going. I'm not going. Now, before OA, tailspin of resentment and anger, anger that I keep inside. So I'll manipulate. I call it the manipulative martyr, you know, and I'll try and win her. I'll sweet talk her. But it's all selfish. It's all control. But you know what? I have almost 6 years of program. And I behave differently now. So my response was, it's okay. I'm not attached to this outcome that we have to go now. And if you're not comfortable, I'm not going to be comfortable either. But let's do this. I don't need to cancel it. I can cancel up to a week from when we go. I'll just leave it there. And I'm not going to bring, trust me, I'm not going to bring it up again. And now when I say trust, tradition two, principle trust, I am now, I can be trusted with my wife. And I didn't bring it up again. What was the outcome? We went on a trip. We had a great time. But, you know, that's the power of programming. Listen, things don't always work out that way for me. I do plenty of step 10s, but this one just worked perfectly. And I wanted to share with you, that's the power of program and the power of tradition too. My name's Frank. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came to OA in May of 2015 and found my abstinence right away. I lost 55 pounds while in program. And I've been maintaining, that's the miracle, I've been maintaining it. It's gonna be 6 years in Memorial Day. Of course, I'm making this sound easy and sound like I'm the poster boy for Overeaters Anonymous. What's behind that 6 years of abstinence is 30 years of research. Everything that doesn't work, I did. Every diet program, every nutritionist's weigh-in pays, weight gain, weight loss, over-exercising, always chasing that dream that one day I would learn to moderate my food, those foods. You know, that for me, I call it the con. That's the con of a diet. Eliminate the trigger foods. You know, we call them the red light foods. Eliminate them, lose the weight, and then slowly bring them back into my life. Now, the problem with that is there is no, I don't have a skill set for reintroducing these foods. Just because, what is it? Because I'm skinny for 5 minutes, that now I can control these foods? It's ridiculous. It's a joke. It's like the alcoholic who chases that dream of 1 5 o'clock martini. That's all I want. Once a day to put my feet up and relax. That's a dream, and like my dream that had to die. And my dream died a slow, painful death. I wanted to share a picture. There we go, of a before and after, and it's even a before and after of OA. So Big Frank's right here, and smaller Frank, he's in a lot skinnier pants there. But of course, this is before OA, you know, thin unhappy, fat unhappy. Both of these guys are unhappy. Skinny Frank is not only unhappy, he's frightened. He's already back in the food. He's in the skinny jeans, but those skinny jeans are not going to last. He didn't throw out the fat jeans. He's going to be back in them, and he was back in them over and over again. With program, I'm just sharing for hope and inspiration. I'm in skinnier jeans now, and I've been in them for 6 years. I'm at a point now that, you know, with program, I don't even think about it. I mean, I went away on my trip. I didn't even try on my clothes. Normally, I have so many summer clothes I had, you know, in different sizes and formats. I didn't even think about it. Everything fits because I work, you know, I do what I have to do. So almost 6 years ago, I was 205 pounds. Just, that was too much. I'm not a big person. Too much for my frame. Chronic joint issues. I had sleep apnea, acid reflux, gallbladder issues, high sugar, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, all of which disappeared. But you know what? It disappeared every time I lost the weight. That was never enough of an incentive, a health scare to keep it off. Mentally, depression, you know, anger, but anger turned inward. Selfish, immature. I never really resolved problems. I resolved my problems with food. So I never matured emotionally. Isolated from my family. My favorite time of day was when they all would go to bed. So I could forage, you know, I could sneak. So sneaking and food went together. And I'd go into the pantry looking for my kids' snacks, lunch snacks for the week. You know, the big bags, the big boxes that I just bring back to the couch in front of the TV, more red light behaviors, into mouth, in the bag, more bad behavior till everything was gone. Everything I could find was gone till I had a stomach ache, till I went to bed with that acid on my chest, waking up in the morning, disgusted with myself, disappointed in myself, and insanely making the promise again that today was going to be the day that I was going to do the diet and I was going to win today. And this nightmare, this loop went on year after year after year till it finally broke. What broke it was an encounter with my oldest son, and I have his permission to tell this story. A little over 6 years ago, he came to us. He was nervous. He gave me a summons. It was a misdemeanor ticket for a marijuana joint. It scared marijuana. I have a problem with alcohol, and I need help. And we got him help. We put him into an outpatient program. They introduced him to a 12-step program, AA. And I wanted to understand. I wanted to connect. I wanted to relate. So I bought a copy of the Big Book, which is very unusual because civilians don't get to read the Big Book. It's taboo. Should they? Of course. It should be taught in schools. It's, you know, the manual on how to be, how to live a better life, how to be a better person. But it's taboo. So I got hold of it. And when I read it, guess who I saw? Not in the alcohol, my son's story. So he has over 6 years of sobriety. He's still in AA, found his way back to school, finished his undergrad, has a master's in social work. He's a clinical social worker. Who does he treat? People with drug and alcohol problems. The power of the program, the miracle of the program, it's just unbelievable. So back to me. I read it and I had a little bit of a spiritual awakening. I really enjoyed the doctor's opinion. And that's what got me abstinent right away. You know, the two-part dilemma. It's a physical allergy. You know, they described it as alcohol. For me, it's, you know, my alcoholic foods, once I start eating them, I can't stop. And what was the doctor's prescription? Abstinence. And I was ready to hear that. Not moderate your food, not put your food, the red light food, in a little baggie and just eat the baggies, or the cheat meal once a week, all the things that were impossible for me. And I was just ready to hear that message. And I also understood the second part of the doctor's opinion, where, you know, the mental obsession. I can't stop from starting again. Skinny Frank in the skinny jeans could not stop from starting again. I had the health benefits. I had the vanity benefits. But I couldn't stop myself.
3 minutes, Frank.
Thank you. The prescription, I didn't connect with. Dr. Silkworth said, these people need a psychic change. They need to find God. They need a spiritual awakening. None of these things I was really ready for, but I was willing. I had the willingness. I had some clarity because I had some abstinence. And so I was ready to work the steps. And I took to heart when somebody said, it's a race to get to step 9. While I have the gift of temporary abstinence, and it's temporary here as well if I don't work the program, I need to get to step 9. And that was the point for me. Step 9, where I made amends, where people said to me, Frank, you're different. You're a better listener. You're more caring. You're more present. And I started to understand that I had that little bit of a spiritual awakening. I didn't have the Bill W. lightning bolt to my head. I had Appendix 3, where it says personality shift sufficient enough to overcome my addiction. So I started to understand the difference between religion and spirituality. And I could have spiritual moments like the one I described earlier with my wife with Tradition 2. So, you know, when you think about it, what does all of this have to do with food? Well, How I solve problems now is different. How I look at life is different. How I look at people is different as a result. How I look at food is different. It doesn't call to me anymore. It's not my coping mechanism. It's not my higher power. I cope now, replacing food with a loving, personal God. And I learned that control is not the answer. I don't overcome my addiction by trying to control my food. I overcome my addiction by creating a new pattern, a new lifestyle for myself, where food is no longer the answer. Thank you for letting me share.